So you may have noticed from your bulletin cover that we're dipping back into our stewardship series that we've been sort of ducking in and out of. And I'm sure you thought when you filled out your commitment card that you were probably done hearing about money for a year. We dip back into this passage and continue to think broadly about what God's calling us to with the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit that it would fill this place, that it would bring this word to life so that we may be brought to life in your name. We pray, oh God, that you would speak in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. I spent the summer before my last semester of divinity school in South Africa as an intern at a Methodist church there. And one of the church's ministries worked in the informal settlements around the city, and it was helping. They would help women establish early learning groups, preschools for the children in the communities, preschools that often took the form of a blanket under a tree with a few toys. They were providing support to grandmothers in this community who were caring for their own grandchildren, and lots of times three or four other children that were from the community who had been orphaned by the AIDS virus. These were aging women whose lives had already been hard. They had already lived through the pain and struggle of apartheid in South Africa. They had lived through the burden, the daily burden of poverty. And now, in the twilight of their lives, a lot of them were raising children, five and six sometimes children, in these small houses. And these houses were made up of sheet metal, spare tin, signs, scraps of wood, branches, whatever that you could cobble together, and you could stand on the edge of the settlement and you could see houses like this for as far as you could see. And one afternoon we visited the settlement, and we met with this large group of grannies in the biggest house in the community, which was a circular house with mud walls. It was one room with a hole in the roof in the center for the fire, and there were about 12 rickety plastic lawn chairs in a circle around the outside of the house. And the woman of the house, our host, she stood up and she began to speak. And she was speaking in her native Zulu language, which I had no idea what she was saying. But I knew that she was looking at me, and her voice was getting animated. So I figured she was talking about me. And the translator next to me was in my ear telling me that she was talking about the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, and about how salvation had come to the house of Zacchaeus because Jesus had visited, and she said that if she died today, she would die happy and blessed and knowing that salvation had come to her house because Umfundisi, the minister, had come to her house. Except Zacchaeus was a crook. You heard the song that Randy was talking about? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Did you learn that one? Wee little man was he? You didn't learn it? Okay. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. So the Greek is kind of ambiguous because it doesn't really say whether it was Zacchaeus that was short or whether it was Jesus that was short. But it was Zacchaeus who had been the small man. Zacchaeus had aligned himself with the empire. People hated tax collectors, not for the reasons that you hate the IRS every April. People hated tax collectors because they took money from the pockets of the people to support the Roman Empire. And when they took money from the pockets of the people, they made sure they took enough so that when they took a little bit off the top, there would be enough for them to live comfortably themselves. So the Roman Empire intimidated the people with violence. They treaded on the people's religious tradition and cultures. They dominated them and abused their resources, and then they took their money to fund it all. So people like Zacchaeus made arrangements out of convenience. By serving the empire, they could get ahead. They could have wealth and they could have convenience, even if they were perpetuating an unjust system. And Zacchaeus had a cherry spot. He was at the corner in Jericho where a lot of people would pass by. He could make a lot of money. He was a chief tax collector. And so when Zacchaeus shifted, when he changed the direction of his life, he shifted from serving himself and investing himself in empire and all that empire means. Empire implies domination, it implies violence, it implies injustice. When he turned from that and committed himself to the way of Jesus, which is at its core about restoring community and peaceable living, about justice and mercy in all of the places, for all of the places where empire has run amok. And so as humbling as my host words were on that African afternoon, she had the situation reversed. I was Zacchaeus. Really. I was the one whose lifestyle was in some way possible because I'd gotten comfortable with my place in a global system built on empire principles. And she actually was the presence of Jesus to me, calling me down out of my bird's eye view of Jesus, my view of Jesus from a distance, so that I could see the kind of life that Jesus makes possible for all of us, not just some of us. Jesus takes a risk by associating himself with Zacchaeus. You see it when the people start grumbling. You know that sound, right? He shouldn't be doing that. You know that sound of people. Maybe you've made that sound before, I don't know. This is the fundamental misunderstanding of Jesus' vocation that gets him put on the cross. Because Jesus has come to disassemble the system of empire and to expose the systems of empire that we often prop up, where a few people dominate the many. He has come to expose how this is a path of destruction for the dominator and for the dominated. Rich and poor, this is a path of destruction. And so the way that he goes about exposing this and saving us from this is important. Because he lifts up those who have been marginalized and tread on. We can name all of those people in Scripture, the Samaritan woman at the well and blind Bartimaeus and the man driven crazy by legions of demons. We can remember the hemorrhaging woman. We can remember all of the people that Jesus responds to and lifts up from the margins, lifts up from invisibility and includes them, restores them to community. And he does all this, and it makes all of the people who are invested in the status quo angry. They do the grumbling then when the people on the margins get lifted up. Which is completely unsurprising, right? They exist because there are some on the margins and they're not. They're in the middle. They accept the grace and the comfort of acceptance and status. But Jesus also ministers to those who have been the agents of oppression and domination in the culture. He comes to people like Zacchaeus. He comes to people like Matthew, who becomes his disciple, and exposes their privilege and calls them to be agents of restoration and justice instead. which completely unsurprisingly is less than pleasing to all of the people who have been wronged by them. Then they do the grumbling, if he's really on our side. And so because nobody feels like Jesus is on their side, they all agree to put him up on the cross. And the people root against the salvation of Zacchaeus. They root against him because of who he is and because of what he's done. But what they don't seem to realize is that Zacchaeus' salvation is bound up in their salvation. That is, when Zacchaeus can let go of his place, when he can give up this position of power, when he can give up this position of putting people under this oppressive economic reality, then everybody will be saved. So they have too small a vision of who Jesus is and what he came to do. The people think that Zacchaeus isn't worth saving, but the thing is, without the repentance and restoration of Zacchaeus, the community cannot be what Jesus insists that community must be. And so it's the same with all of us who walk in some place of privilege in a world where empire is still the rule. We still, even though Jesus came to destruct and expose this empire way of living, we still live by these principles. And I know that some of you are I've used this word privilege for like 4 or 6 weeks in a row, and maybe that's true, and I'm just hammering at it, but it's like, if you see your grandfather in his underwear, you can't unsee it once you've seen that. Or like, and not only that, but once you've seen it, you start seeing it everywhere. And so when you start to see, when you get into Scripture, and you get into the Gospels, and you start to see all of the places where Jesus is deconstructing the privilege of the people in the community where he lives, where he is hell-bent on showing just how much the salvation of the community is dependent on people who have too much, who have too much and then need too much, giving up all that they have and hold. When you begin to see how much of that Jesus does, you see it everywhere in the way Jesus goes around interacting with people. So the salvation of privileged people, those who have economic, there's all kinds of privilege. There's economic and political privilege like the one Zacchaeus has. The salvation of people with privilege is not just for those individuals. Their salvation is for the whole community. So, like, you might think that what Zacchaeus does is exemplary. Like, Zacchaeus is so moved that he's going to give up everything he has and give it to the poor. And if he's defrauded anyone, he's going to give it back 4 times. Zacchaeus does exactly what the book of Exodus tells good Jewish people they should do if they steal from people. So what Zacchaeus does is put back into the community what he deprived the community of when he took it out. Because the extraction of resources has done harm to the community, he puts back what he stole. In other words, what is required, he puts back what is required so that the material blessings of God can be enjoyed by everyone the way God had intended it to be enjoyed in the first place. So one writer says, the salvation of Zacchaeus has personal, domestic, social, and economic dimensions. And here's what I want to tell you is that so does your salvation have personal, domestic, social, and economic dimensions. We like to talk about faith as an individual thing, as what Jesus has done for me, the way God has redeemed my weakness, and that is for you. It is for the wholeness of your life. It is for the peace in your life. It is for the love that is present in your life. It is for the healing of your spirit. It is. But God has saved you And in the process of you being saved, God is saving the rest of us too. Because now, once you have been brought to salvation, you are then called to put back everything you might have extracted from the rest of us. So what Zacchaeus does following being saved is actual acts of restoration. Tangible things. All of a sudden now, these people who have had to live without because of him, now they don't anymore. That's not spiritual. That's physical, that's earthly, that's incarnate love of God. And so, I don't know how you feel in April when your tax bill comes due. Confused, maybe a little reticent, resentful. And maybe you have different reasons for feeling that way. Maybe it's because you feel like you are being swept up in empire principles, that your money is going to a system of things that doesn't really stand for who or what you are called to be. But that's why we make our commitments to this place. We make our commitments to this place as a way of sowing into the kingdom. Actual acts of restoration, giving ourselves and our commitment. We pivot from one orientation to another orientation, realizing that this community and us working together reveals the salvation that God has planned for all of us. And so in that way, it's a revolutionary act. It's an act of protest. It's an act of saying, no, no. This is where I will put my treasure. This is where I will put my heart. This is where I will put my mind. This is where I will put my work. I will put my work toward the building of God's kingdom. Zacchaeus got called down out of his tree. He just wanted to see. He just wanted to check it out, investigate, get the Cliff's Notes. And the next thing he knew, Jesus was in his kitchen. That's how salvation works. You just start out wanting to get a view, wanting to get the Cliff's Notes, wanting to get a little salve for the wounds that the world has created in your own spirit. And the next thing you know, Jesus is in your kitchen. And he's helping you to see that by saving you, he's saving the rest of us. And that by saving the rest of us, he's saving you too. Thanks be to God for that call down out of the high up branches of power and privilege into the low down, rickety plastic seat that names the grace of God for us all.